talked about.
This is the part where I'm supposed to do the whole intro thingy, but you know all that already. All right, let's get to the good stuff.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Marc Maron wasn't funny when he was funny, and that was 20 years ago. Marc Maron is sad and draining with his soul-sucking jokes. Some guy on Twitter has been railing on me all day. He calls himself the Dragon Master.
Well, that sounds like a very important job.
They're all cowards. I'm just sick of it. Why should I have to put up with this?
Yeah, you should ignore them.
Shut up, Marc Maron. It's not our fault your parents didn't love you.
That one's actually pretty helpful.
So he's somebody that you look and you look away because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Nothing exciting about him.
This show really improves with age.
Why? Because the jokes get better?
No, because my hearing gets worse.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
And here we go.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I just have one question. Is curling a real thing?
Roll another.
You people can kiss the fattest part of my
just
ass.
Just like the other one.
Come on, I'm just trying to get my
this job. This one seems to be about to quit.
There's something wrong with that child. You just don't say things like that.
Another hand.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You shut your mouth, okay?
Roll.
Curveball, lemonade.
Just like the other one.
I swear it's like I work with toddlers.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I drink to excess.
Is there really a more clear way to describe white pants?
Just pass it around.
Why you talk about boogie bone, but a bone, but a bone.
Sunshine?
Never say that again.
And now.
If we wanted to, we could have our own business.
No, I agree. If we really wanted to, we could. It's just that, do we want to do that? Do we want to have a website and a blog and be like, this is what we did today?
No, it's too much work.
Yeah.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, and it is the 24th of Rocktober.
Halloween in a week, you guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
A little bit of a late start today, so I'll go quickly. And that is, the new dictionaries are out.
All right.
You guys ever read the dictionary?
Never. Why would we read a dictionary?
First of all, it's the greatest book ever written. Second of all, I bet Lisa has.
Well, I've certainly thumbed through on occasion.
Because it's so fascinating how many words there are and how few of them we know.
Yes, that's true.
That's why I'm fascinated with it.
That doesn't fascinate me at all.
These are actual words that exist that are available for use, yet I'm using the same 300 words every day.
Yeah.
It just seems like a big waste.
But I use the same 50 every day. And I get 10 of those wrong. So
it's like you go to Jerry's Deli and there's 6,000 items on the menu, but you only order, you know, off the kids' menu, in your case, Kevin. I'm fascinated by it. And the new edition of the Collins English Dictionary just came out this week. They've been making a dictionary since 1819, by the way. Mm. This edition has 722,000 words and phrases in it.
Wow.
The largest single-volume dictionary in print. And the reason I bring it up is because you'll be interested to know some of the new words that are now in the dictionary.
I bet we know the new words.
You know a lot of them. Yeah. And for instance, Bitcoin. Is mm-hmm. now in the dictionary.
Okay.
For folks who don't know, a system of open source peer-to-peer software for the creation and exchange of payment in a certain type of cryptocurrency. Meme is now in the dictionary. You know what that is? Photobomb?
Sure.
Preload.
Wait, it took this long for Photobomb?
Photobomb,
wow.
Yep. Preload. You guys know what that is?
Preload. I don't.
It is to consume alcoholic drinks at home before going to a social gathering.
Oh, my God.
Which is a great word. I didn't know this one. A textonym. A textonym.
No.
One of two or more words that can be generated by pressing the same key combinations on a mobile phone.
I don't understand
that. Is that a feature
that,
that
all.
We have?
I don't know.
I don't know about. Twerking is now in the dictionary.
Ah, excellent.
I don't know where twerking began. I don't know who the first person was to come up with that word. We know how it got popularized with Miley, but I don't know where the word came from. Mm-mm. Vape is also in the dictionary now.
All right.
Okay. Inhaling nicotine vapor. Here's one I didn't know. Aldesco. Aldesco.
Never heard of it.
Bet you can guess what it is, though. It's to have a meal, especially lunch, at one's desk or one's place of work.
So there's al fresco, and now really? There's al fresco.
Yeah, I'm going to eat al desco today.
That's weak,
I love that. Is,
I brought my lunch, basically. And finally, and this has to be thanks to Zooey Deschanel on The New Girl, Adorkable is now in the dictionary.
Yes.
Is it really?
Adorkable.
That'd be pretty cool if you could track a word back to yourself or her writers.
It's amazing. But wouldn't it be great if they had to pull out the number of words that they put in? Like we have 30 new words. So here's 30 words nobody ever uses. We're just going to take them out now.
Exactly. We know somebody who invented a word, and I don't know if it's in the dictionary yet, but jackhole certainly should be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jimmy Kimmel came up with the word jackhole because he thought there needed to be another expletive that was radio-friendly that still had the impact of some of the ones we couldn't use. And he invented jackhole, and you hear that on TV in shows now.
Yeah, people pick
it's
it up.
It's an actual word that people use, and if it's not in the dictionary, I bet one day it will be. And that'll be awesome for Jay.
Well, you should read the dictionary beginning to end and see if it's there.
Well, I can spell it, actually, so
yeah,
I can just
I know,
look it up.
But you like to read a dictionary. Mm-hmm. That's my point. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Aren't we a couple of dapper Dans?
We're going to talk to a guy named Rob Cantor, who you may not have heard of.
He's your hero, right?
He's my hero. He did this video, Shia LaBeouf, that I've been tweeting out and just watching. I don't know. I probably watched it 18, 19, 20 times because it's nonsense, it's ridiculous, it's awesome, and Shia LaBeouf is there. So we're going to talk to him about that. Okay. I don't know if you saw his other video, Bean, but that one's disturbing.
Which one?
Well, he's got another one up, and it's about a kid who makes out with what looks like 85-year-old woman.
Oh, I did not see that one.
And makes out is a kind word.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Right. That happens.
Sounds sexy.
And she's enjoying it. New Halloween songs on today's show.
Excellent.
Got some good ones.
Natasha Leggero will be on the program talking about Festival Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to help you make some money with the NFL Week 8. RJ Bell gives us his picks. The King of Mexico explains Halloween costumes on today's show. He hates Halloween.
That's so weird.
I don't know. Another person. I've never met another person in my entire life that hates Halloween.
Especially a person. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know anyone who hates Halloween either. Especially somebody who you would guess would love Halloween.
Yeah. It's got so many elements that he's in favor of.
But nope. Hates it. Hates costumes. Hates the whole thing. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. And if you're a Walking Dead fan, you're going to want to listen to this. Andrew J. West plays Gareth.
Mm.
He's the, I don't know, cannibal.
Sure.
On the show.
I am not in favor of him.
He eats people.
Take him out, Lisa, when he comes in.
That's I will. Thing.
After what he did to Bob.
I know. How can we let him in
we
here?
We have to begin with stop eating Bob, right?
Yes.
That's question/comment number one. So anyway, that's coming up this morning. Plus, we got your tickets for Festival Supreme as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Please fall. Please fall. Please fall. Please fall. Please fall. Oh, shoot. Morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
That made so much sense to people listening. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning.
Kevin was just referring to the fact I was climbing on top of the console here trying to re-aim lights because I feel as if I'm inside a tanning bed.
It doesn't
look like it's gone wonky in the studio.
Dark, you can't see. It looks like the Arden Forest over there.
Yeah.
Here, just nothing but the surface of the sun.
If you took somebody and you said, arrange the lights so that Ralph can't see, they're actually in his eyes. They couldn't have done it better. So, good work.
It's all going to be different, man, when I'm running things.
Hey, Who of us are still going to be around when you're running things, Ralph?
You'll all be here when I start running things.
Uh-huh.
But then a week later,
you can't vouch for many of us?
None of us?
Just Lisa?
Chip.
Chip!
That's it?
Chip will be here.
All right.
Omar. Okay. Omar will be here.
Okay. All right. Omar makes the cut. Good.
Yeah.
And then
about me,
the king? Mugs?
Beer Mug said, how about me? That's adorable.
You got to keep Lisa, though, right?
Can I stay? Yeah, I smell nice.
That's true. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Woo.
Well, I think you picked well, by the way. I think I'd be making the same choices.
Let's take a look at the showbiz news. The set of Magic Mike XXL apparently is quite just the man fest, just the testosterone stew.
This needs a penis.
Well, it's got plenty of them, Lisa. It's got all those studly actors reteaming, of course, for the story of male strippers. Joe Manganiello, Channing Tatum, Adam Rodriguez. Apparently, they're all trying to out-muscle each other in some way. A lot of competition on the set. Last week, Channing Tatum challenged everyone to a crunch competition and won, but then apparently spent the day sick from overdoing it. His stomach was in such cramping because he had overdone it. So.
Do you want extra sausage?
It's just like our show. Remember, we're constantly trying to out-exercise each other and out-muscle each other with our
You can't get down the hall with people doing sit-ups.
Crunch and push-ups competition and push-ups. Yeah, yes. And our pull-ups.
It's practically Muscle Beach.
Yeah.
Muscle Beach? Is that what you're doing to Venice?
That's one of Muggs' lines in a commercial that's running.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know why or how.
Whose was that? Was that yours?
No, that was Kat's.
Kat's?
That was
Kat. Kat needs to stop using you.
She needs to stop making commercials, period. She is really the biggest offender around here. Between her mom and Beer Mug.
Her mom is awesome.
Her constant co-stars in every commercial. Elizabeth Pena, this is sad news. She was one of my favorite actresses, and when she passed away, you may remember her from La Bamba and Down and Out in Beverly Hills. She played on Modern Family. She was
Gloria's
mom. Right. 55-year-old actress passed away last week. And I thought it was very strange. They said it was natural causes. And I said 55 years old, natural causes. It didn't make
that
any sense.
Weird, yeah.
Now we know. Apparently she had been sick for some time because she was an alcoholic. They say she passed away due to alcohol abuse and suffered from acute cirrhosis of the liver that led to gastrointestinal bleeding. And that's what took her life at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center last week. So now we know. The demon booze, man. It's bad stuff, Kevin.
I agree.
No, you don't, but you will, man. And Charlize Theron, my friend Charlize Theron, is just the best. Although she apparently can never remember to bring her wallet anywhere. Remember the story where she went to get some frozen yogurt and she didn't have any money to pay for it? So she had told the girl behind the counter, if you just let me go get some cash, I'll be right back.
Right, right. Right.
An hour later, she came back and gave her a $100 bill and like a $5 bowl of frozen yogurt.
She's the best.
She, this time, was out with lunch with her friends, her two girlfriends, and forgot her wallet again. She said to the waitress, please, I'm just going to go get some money. I'll be back. And the waitress, what are you going to do when Charlize Theron says that to you?
You say
I think
yes.
You got to trust her.
Say okay.
The odds of her dining and dashing, I think, are slim.
Yes.
So she went off, came back, paid for the lunch, and then gave the waitress a thank you card with a $500 tip inside.
So wow. Worth it to you to have her forget her wallet.
It really is. I would hide her wallet if she was my...
Oh, my gosh.
She was on my table.
But on the other side of it, how hard is it for her to remember her wallet?
Listen, you... How hard is it to remember the key card that gets you into your place of business?
We're not focusing on me.
Well, let's talk about
Charlize Theron.
Introduce to the pot. What color are you, sir? Maybe that's what we should focus on.
But I expect that she's operating on a higher level than I am, though, Ralph. That's my point.
I'm thinking...
As is everyone.
She doesn't need to worry about a wallet. She should just have someone following her around with whatever she needs at all times.
It does seem
and
best,
I would like to apply for that job.
It does seem best case scenario for the people that work there.
Yes.
Do you guys remember a couple years ago when we started talking about, Kevin, it might have been based on something that happened to you.
It was.
About people who go through the drive-thru and say, oh, I just realized I don't have any money. Can I come back? And we were surprised at how often the person on the other side of the microphone says, okay, go ahead. We trust you.
See? Sweet. I don't know. It's not all doom and gloom, people. It's not all Ebola and ISIS. There's some good things in the world.
I think we tried it. Like, we went and went through a drive-thru and said that, and they were like, yeah, no problem, come back. I was like, what?
It was super cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 24th of Rocktober! Actor Kevin Kline is 67 years old today. B.D. Wong, another talented actor, is 54. Actress Casey Wilson, who's very funny as Annie on Marry Me, she is 34. Rapper Drake is 28. Oh, I want him to murder my vagina. And actress Shanae Grimes celebrates her 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He plays Gareth on The Walking Dead. Actor Andrew West joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Natasha Leggero on the program today. And we'll talk NFL Week 8 picks with RJ Bell. By the way, that's a conversation we're going to have between you boys later on today as well.
Andrew West. That's Adam West. That's TV's band. That's not who's coming in. That's a different guy.
Hey, how about it's Friday, and that means Ralph's here with the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
It's a weird and wonderful potpourri grab bag of cinema this weekend. I think that's what we should call the segment from now on.
Potpourri?
The weird and wonderful potpourri grab bag of cinema.
Yeah, I'm going to let you say that. You don't mind.
Four new films are coming out in Southland Cineplexes. Few of them in limited release. All filled with really talented actors. To varying degrees of success, as far as I can tell. As always, I have not seen any of these films.
Good.
Because I've always felt anyone can go to see a film and then review it.
Right.
But it takes a gift to be able to review a film from afar. Just using my spidey senses. My cinema senses, if you will. Let's start off with the movie that I'm most excited about this weekend. Laggies. It is a film with an unfortunate name, but
I've never heard of it.
But it really appeals to me, largely because it stars Sam Rockwell, and has long been my belief that Sam Rockwell should be in every movie that is made.
He's great.
Because he is always, always great. Never has not been great.
Yep.
If that agreed makes any sense at all. Chloe Grace Moretz also stars in this film, along with Keira Knightley. Keira plays a woman who is going through a crisis in her life. She is a grown-ass woman who really just can't get her S together. And so she panics when her boyfriend proposes and goes to live with a new little friend that she's made, a 16-year-old girl named Annika, played by Chloe Grace Moretz. She just moves in with her, just lives in there in her house. The only problem is Annika has a father, played by Sam Rockwell. It's like, why is this grown-ass woman living in my house now? Why is she hanging out with my teenage daughter? This is all very weird. But because it is Keira Knightley and he is Sam Rockwell, they do tend to fall in love with each other at some point in the film. Here's a scene where Chloe Grace Moretz is uncomfortable with the chemistry that's going on between her father and her new friend, Keira Knightley.
Dad, you do know you can't lecture her all night, right? She's not a kid.
Oh, really? You stuck your friend into my house, I think you're lacking say-so here. If you let her spend the night in your backpack. No, that's... Actually, I paid for the backpack, so
okay.
I guess that's my property. I don't know. Why don't you put a case together?
I'm gonna go to bed.
Good night, honey. Yeah, the property argument is inelegant, but it ends things quickly.
I love Sam Rockwell!
He is great.
It's always good. It's in limited release. You've got to search it out if you want to find it. And you will have to deal with the fact that you have to say, two tickets for Laggies, please. But
Laggies.
I believe it will pay off in the end. I'm going to check that out this weekend. White Bird in a Blizzard. Oh, this is not for Kevin. This is a film about feelings and talking.
Nah, come on.
Shailene Woodley plays a 17-year-old girl whose life is thrown into chaos when her mother simply disappears. Played shrill and cold effectiveness by Eva Green, is usually playing sex bombs, but in this film she is very sort of austere and distant. Christopher Maloney stars as her long-suffering husband. Angela Bassett's in this film. Looks like an amazing cast, directed by Greg Araki, who is super talented. Here is a scene from White Bird in a Blizzard where Eva Green is confiding in her teenage daughter, Shailene Woodley, that she doesn't really love her father.
Do you love the boy?
God, Jesus, you scared me. How long have you been standing there?
Sorry, I didn't mean to startle you.
Well, are you going to answer my question?
What question?
That boy next door. Do you love him?
What are you talking about? It's none of your business.
I don't love your father. I can't stand him, as a matter of fact.
What the f***?
Why would you say that to me? Go tell it to someone else.
Good times in that family.
Yeah, no kidding. She's right, though. I don't know that you want to bring that up to your kid.
This whole movie looks just horrifying and just it rips your heart out on every level. This family is just such a mess. But a bunch of great actors, and looks like it's a very compelling film. Ouija opens up this weekend. Is it Ouija or Ouija? You know, as a kid, I always said the Ouija board. You always said Ouija board,
that's
right?
That's what I've heard, Ouija. Too. I always thought
however,
it was
Ouija. However, it's spelled O-U-I-J-A.
Yeah.
So at least it should be Ouija or Ouija.
I don't know.
I've never heard anyone say Ouija.
Yeah, me either. But it is spelled that way. I don't know.
It's a horror film about the age-old game we all played as kids where you put your fingertips on that indicator and you talk to the other side. Here's the thing. The other side doesn't want to talk to you. And now they will kill you. Nice job.
Good work.
A-hole. You've opened the door. Olivia Cooke stars in this horror movie based on the popular board game. She is our little friend from Bates Motel.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The one who carries the oxygen tank around. The impossibly hot girl suffering from cystic fibrosis.
We love her. Can't stop looking at her.
These stupid kids play with the stupid Ouija board and end up dying because the Ouija board will kill you. We all know that's a fact.
As friends we've gathered, hearts are true. Spirits near, we call to you. If there's a presence here, please make yourself known. This is a joke.
Come on, you guys. Who's doing that?
Sarah, cut it out.
I'm not pushing it.
Who is this? Sarah, if that's you pretending to be Debbie, then that's really messed up.
I swear it's not me, all right?
Okay, this is freaking me out. Let's just stop it now.
I'm sorry. Let's just put your hand back, please.
Going to die tonight.
Yeah. What do you guys think is the deal with the Ouija board, by the way? Because there are people who do say, look, I didn't move it in that direction, but it really did spell out that thing.
Maybe this is a break for another time, but here's the thing. I think there are involuntary and subconscious movements involved with the body, and that's what moves the indicator on the Ouija board.
But aren't multiple people holding on to the thing on the board at the same time?
Exactly.
So how are they all thinking of the same answer, same word, same letters?
They're not. That's the thing about the Ouija board. You don't know the answer. You say, oh, what's the name of the man I'm going to marry? Spell it out for me. Like, M-O-N-T. What, Monty? Monty's going to be?
Hall?
Monty Hall. Montreal. It just moves around because people just involuntarily go in one direction or the other, and subconsciously they're moving the Ouija.
We may need to talk Ouija next week as we get closer to Halloween.
I also got a request
for another edition of Ralph Garman Ghostbusters, which I think we may need to revisit this year as well.
Oh, that's another BS thing with the ghosts. And speaking of BS, the last movie of the week is John Wick. Yeah, if this movie had a sense of humor at all, it would be hilarious. Because it's almost a parody of every movie you've seen like this before. John Wick is the story of a hitman who's gotten out of the business, man. He's gotten out of that world. He's trying to live a peaceful life. But they just won't let him, man. You know why? Because the bad guys come. Not only do they steal his car. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not kidding. They kill his puppy. What?
Aww.
The gangsters killed his puppy. And that's now, just one step too far.
It's too sad now.
What? Now I'm going to open up my trunk with all my weapons in it, and I'm going to become a hitman again. And I'm going to take down the syndicate who dared to kill my puppy.
Did they mess with the wrong man?
They messed with the wrong man. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. And now I'm John Wick. And now people are going to die. Because you killed my puppy. The puppy, by the way, was the gift. Wait for it. From his dying wife.
Ah,
sure. The last gift from his dying wife.
Sure.
She gave him the puppy. And then the puppy was killed by gangsters.
Yeah.
And the gangsters now have to pay. Because John Wick is back. Who'd you get? What'd you do? I stole this guy's car and killed his puppy. Oh, no, man. That was John Wick. This all happens in this film. It's this close to being a hilarious parody of these kinds of films. But sadly, this film has no sense of humor. So what you get instead is just another run-of-the-mill shoot-em-up film that Kevin will be there front and center to see this weekend. Here are some scenes, actually just the only scene you need from John Wick, where he is just killing bad guys.
Look.
Apparently, he's killing them in a dance club in 1985.
If you said nothing else about that movie but just played that clip, Kevin would be in.
That's so true.
It's all he needs.
It's John Wick. We killed his puppy. Now he's back.
You don't do that.
You don't kill John Wick's puppy.
You don't. You don't kill any puppies, people.
Here's my favorite thing. All of his weapons that he uses, his deadly hitman weapons.
Yeah.
He's got in the trunk, of course, that he's put away because he put away that part of his life.
Yeah, he's not that guy anymore.
Then he put the trunk in the ground, and then he laid concrete over the hole where he had the trunk with all the weapons in it. So when he goes to get his weapons again, he's going to get a sledgehammer out and break through the concrete slab in his garage to get back to the... Just throw the weapons away. You don't want the weapons. You don't have to put them in a hole and then pour concrete over them. Were you planning someday I might have to break through the concrete to get back to the weapons?
Throw them away or keep them.
Just throw them in the ocean. Get rid of, keep the weapons. Don't keep the weapons, John Wick.
Don't bury
them. Why make them so hard for yourself? You can always buy new weapons. I'm going to get him. And he gets a sledgehammer and starts breaking concrete. Stop it, John Wick.
So that's your pick?
I'm going for Laggies. Nah. Sure, it's a silly name. But Sam Rockwell! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Earlier, Ralph was here with the movie beat. We were talking about one of the big films in theaters this weekend called John Wick, starring Keanu Reeves. Ralph was not kind to the movie. And I feel kind of bad because Keanu's been making the rounds doing interviews on this film right now.
Yeah.
And he sounds pretty sad about a lot of things. I think Keanu's in a bad place right now. So maybe we can cheer him up a little bit. We've got Keanu Reeves on the phone with us. Hi, Keanu.
Ah, good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're good. How are you, more importantly?
Excellent.
Well, that cheered me up. So this is John Wick, huh? You tried to get out, but then they made you come back in?
Yes. Story of a man who loses everything. And by everything, I mean his Mustang and his puppy.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. And you've been talking about how this is another in a long line of independent films you've been doing. It seems like you're not getting a lot of the roles that you've hoped for lately.
No. Turns out my phone is not ringing off the hook.
There was a time when you were huge in the movie industry.
Ah, or was there?
Well, I think so, during the Matrix time. And
yes, that was. You're right. Okay.
Okay, yeah. you gave an interview recently where you said, for instance, that you at one time hoped to play Batman.
Yes. There's many characters I wish I'd had a chance to play. Uh-huh. Wolverine from the X-Men.
Wolverine, okay.
Another one I would have liked to play.
But do you think you would have done as good a job as Hugh Jackman? He just seems perfect for that role.
I would have been better.
Okay.
I've been like Professor X. Time to go stop Magneto. Excellent.
Would have been a different movie, that's for sure.
Ah, adamantium claws. Schwing.
All right, so you didn't get to be Batman. You didn't get to
be great too. Batman. Ah, Joker. We meet again. Where is she? Where do you have my girlfriend? Batman.
Yeah.
Excellent.
They may have been making the right decision on these, though, because it's...
Or did they?
It sounds like you're stuck in Bill and Ted mode.
Or am I?
Who else would you have liked to have played Keanu?
There's a lot of characters I would have liked to have played. For example, how about a Transformer? I'm a truck. Oh, look at me now. Robot.
Well, you can't play the role of a truck. You're a human being.
I'm that good an actor.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Or am I?
Or are you, yeah.
Sweet.
All right, good chat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55. We'll talk Walking Dead next hour with Andrew J. West, the actor who plays Gareth. He's a very bad man, by the way, coming in here to the Kevin and Bean Show. And also why Dave, the King of Mexico, hates Halloween. Who hates Halloween?
Dave?
What's not to like about Halloween? We'll discuss coming up. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Aaron Paul isn't happy that Toys R Us is pulling the Breaking Bad toys. Very upset.
It does seem odd.
This Florida mom who started an online petition had the toys removed from Toys R Us. They buckled to the pressure of 9,000 signatures. So he took to the internet to express himself. Wait, so Toys R Us pulled all the Breaking Bad figures from their shelves and still sells Barbie? I wonder what is more damaging. Snap!
Boom!
No, he didn't. What about all the violent video games you sell Toys R Us? Do you still sell those? Florida Mom really messed it up for everyone. Boom! Aaron Paul. Yep. Live it. Love it. Learn it.
Look, I get that there might be some parents who don't want their kids to play with Breaking Bad toys because he's a drug dealer and there's little bags of meth in the toys.
Let me tell you something. There's no 10-year-old demanding the Walter White figure.
That's true.
It's not
right.
happening.
You're right.
He's not putting on a Christmas list because he doesn't watch that damn show. He has no idea who the guy in the yellow jumpsuit is and doesn't want that. He
true.
Wants Leonardo and the other Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Relax, Mom. There's no demand for this for children.
And even if there were, the parents don't have to buy them if they don't want to. But other people should be able to buy them.
If your kid wants to play with meth dealer toys, you have bigger problems at home than your toy selection.
Maybe focus on that.
Take that kid to a special class. Have a doctor investigate what's going on inside its melon. All right, moving on. Speaking of children, TLC shocks the world by announcing this morning they have canceled Honey Boo Boo.
Wow.
Yes.
That's the only move in this case. Right?
Remember earlier in the week I mentioned that Mama June, who broke up with longtime boyfriend Sugar Bear, is now dating a convicted child molester who, oh, by the way, sexually abused one of her children relatives.
Just crazy.
Yes, indeed it is.
That is shocking.
TLC said they're canceling the show because they feel she's putting her own children at risk by spending time with this convicted child molester.
I feel sad.
TLC is taking a financial hit with this decision. They have shot an entire new season of episodes. However, they will not air them.
Is that right? Good for them.
So, tough decision, I'm sure, for them to make, but obviously the right one. You have to throw these inbred hillbillies back into the cesspool from which they crawled. But we don't have to televise it. But we don't have to watch.
Why do you think June chose the child molester over the huge money that she's making off of doing this TV show?
Gosh, I don't know. It seems like she's made so many good life choices so far. This is out of character for her.
She has been pretty solid.
I mean, the morbid obesity, the bad parenting choices. Really, she seems like a real go-getter up to this point.
What a weird misstep this is.
She's got the world on a string.
That's a good point. I hadn't looked at it that way, Jude.
And speaking of good points, Fox News, if you're a young lady listening to our show, first of all, hey there. But secondly, if you're a young lady listening to our show, then Fox News may not be the news channel for you. Blew me away this week. Just stunned on a show called The Five.
What's that, The Five?
The Five is a group of five pundits on Fox News. It's four conservatives and one liberal, and they address the news of the day.
Okay.
And one of the members of The Five is a woman named Kimberly Guilfoyle. She, even by Fox News standards, surprised and shocked me this week when she announced that she didn't believe that young women should be, first of all, allowed to vote.
What?
Wow.
Because they don't know enough about stuff.
As opposed to young men?
Yeah, she just said women?
Yes.
Wow.
Nor should they allowed to be serve on juries.
What?
Yep. Here's the clip from Kimberly Guilfoyle.
That's insane.
When you're young like that, you think the same reason why young women on juries are not a good idea. They don't get it.
Right.
They're not in that same like life experience of paying the bills, doing the mortgage, kids, community, crime, education, health care. They're like healthy and hot and running around without a care in the world.
They should be on jury. They have every right in the world.
I didn't say they shouldn't be. I just thank and excuse them so they can go back on Tinder or Match.com.
Wow.
They should be excused from jury duty so they can go back to Tinder or Match.com. Young ladies.
Even for self-preservation, aren't you smart enough to not say that ridiculous theory out loud?
Apparently not.
I mean, we all know it's true, but you don't say it.
See? Now look at you.
You stop it.
And here's a woman who at some point was a young woman, right?
Yep. Sure.
Did she think she had no value as a young woman?
I'm guessing that's what she thought.
She's only has value now because she's twice divorced, 45-year-old.
Yeah, on a TV
that's
show.
Crazy.
On a TV show? I was
that's real?
Away. That happened. So, there you go. Huh. I wonder why younger women vote for more Democratic candidate than they do Republican. Today's celebrity birthday, Shania Grimes. She's 25 years old today. Drake turns 28. Casey Wilson. She was very funny on Saturday Night Live. Now is very funny on Marry Me. She is 34
Bell
years
or no
old.
Bell for Casey Wilson.
I think she's adorable.
I don't think she's attractive. But
really?
I could be missing out
she's
on
her. She's kind of borderline for
I'm in
me.
The middle. I think
she's
cute.
Kind of boring to me.
She's cute.
Boring.
She's okay.
Boring.
Bell or no Bell?
Well, look, I'm not.
How about one?
Bell is not for my. Bell. It's not for my feelings.
That's a consensus.
How about like one tepid Bell? Just really. Yeah, just graze it. All right.
See, now that's training right there. He can. We order it, and he can do it.
And B.D. Wong, the actor, is 54. Kevin Kline, a legend. One of my favorite actors, 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, everybody, it is Stryker, and I want to say thanks to everybody that came out to Hamer Toyota on Sunday. That was fun. We had a huge crowd, and a huge thank you to Dave, Shams, and Darwin from Hamer Toyota. You guys know how to throw a party. It was awesome. All right, so what is next? Well, it's that time of year. It's October, when the factory prices of the 2014 Toyotas are further reduced. They've been sliced, slashed, red-rummed. They've been hacked. And if you want a Scion, well, every remaining 2014 Scion has been repriced. And if you want to see those prices, go to the website. It's HamerToyota.com. And the new 2015s are here. And Hamer Toyota has the highly sought-out, all-new redesigned 2015 Camry. And you can be one of the first to test drive and own the boldest Camry ever. Yeah, here's the deal. Hamer always has unbelievable prices. But if you want to have fun with the person you're getting a car from and you want someone that you can trust, go to Hamer Toyota. I've got four cars there. You know the deal. They're out there in Mission Hills. They are Hamer Toyota ruling the valley.
The traffic jam. A stifling halt to your thrilling drive. But with the most luxurious interior in its class and an innovative touchpad, the all-new 2015 C-Class is as exciting to experience standing still as it is in motion. See your authorized dealer and see the world differently in a C-Class from Mercedes-Benz. Test drive one today.
Looking for the very best window treatments? Then look to Hunter Douglas Window Fashions and look to DecorView certified designers to bring the Hunter Douglas showroom to you with a free in-home consultation. Right now, you can save 25% off retail on Duet Honeycomb Shades. Just call 1-800-427-1924 for an appointment. That's 1-800-427-1924. DecorView and Hunter Douglas, the perfect match for all your window treatment needs. 1-800-427-1924.
Ferguson, Missouri, still boiling with anger. Michael Brown was unarmed, but was the shooting unjustified? News leaks that say otherwise are not being believed.
The grand jury testimony of more than half a dozen black witnesses largely supports the white police officer's account of the shooting of black teenager Michael Brown. And the Washington Post says some physical evidence, including ballistics tests, interviews, and a complete autopsy report, suggest Officer Darren Wilson fought with Brown for control of his gun and fatally shot the unarmed teen after Brown moved toward him on the street.
Even Attorney General Holder says he's exasperated by the leaking. Brown's family wants a special prosecutor. The real question, who will the grand jury believe? Cal State Northridge halts all fraternity pledging. After another hazing report, this one involving Pi Kappa Alpha, another frat's initiation cost a pledge his life. 80s everywhere, cooler tomorrow. 62 at K-Rock, I'm Doc on the Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 KROQ FM and HD. Pasadena, Los Angeles, Orange County. The world famous K-Rock. Alternative first.
Somebody, you know that I can use somebody.
someone like you and all you know and how you speak. Countless lovers undercover of the street. You know that I can use somebody. You know that I can use somebody.
Sent Chip out for some Taco Bell. Got an order for the whole crew. And since Andrew West from The Walking Dead is here, he plays Gareth on the show, we should get a side order of Bob for him so he can enjoy it on breakfast, right?
Oh, man, that didn't take long.
Don't eat Bob. Don't finish eating
Don't
Bob.
Don't eat Bob. Come on. What are you doing,
we
Gareth?
Just, we
come
just
on.
Jumped right in there.
Don't
I
eat
like
Bob.
That.
Well, we've been doing nothing but cursing your name ever since last Sunday night. We've been dying to have this conversation with you.
Understandably, right. People like Bob, I guess.
We
it.
Like Bob. Don't eat
Everybody
Bob.
Likes Bob. Stop eating Bob.
Andrew is an actor, let's all try to remember that, who is playing a character called Gareth on The Walking Dead. So what's this week been like
Please.
For you? What have the last 2 weeks been like for
let's
you?
Let's remind people of that. You know, I just want to fill in the listeners at home real quick.
Okay.
I got my car this morning, and I started to drive over here, and I put you guys on. I wanted to listen to you come in, and I heard you guys announce my arrival, and it became clear that somebody in the studio was a little confused as to which West would be joining us.
That was Ralph, but he was being funny.
Ralph, right. Yeah. He thought that it might be a one Adam West.
Yeah, he was hoping, frankly.
Of Batman fame. So I just want to let you know everybody at home know I'm not one to disappoint. I took a quick detour on the way over here, and I am now in full Batman regalia sitting here right now.
You don't want to disappoint Ralph.
Right.
Nice
absolutely.
Of you.
Yeah, so, you know, for the listeners at home, just if you could have that mental image as you go through the morning.
What a giver.
Kind of everybody gets a little something.
Right. Absolutely.
That's above and beyond. You're thoughtful. I didn't expect that.
No, it's just for you guys. I'm a big fan. I love you guys.
All right. So the question is, what's it been like for you just walking around the streets being a normal guy who's an actor, just making a living and having everybody on the street either talk cannibalism to you or just hate you and avoid you?
Yeah, I just stay home. I just don't really go out. No, you know, it's funny. It's only been a few days, and I haven't had any run-ins. But, man, I'll tell you, when I read that episode, it was interesting going into episode two because Scott Gimple, the showrunner, he told me, hey, you're in episode two, so read it. But I had no idea what happened. So I'm flipping through the episode, and I'm, you know, about three pages away from the end, and I don't see myself yet. And then all of a sudden there's that long, beautiful monologue that was written by Robert Kirkman. And I was just smiling from ear to ear because it's such a shocking and striking scene. And I was up, you know, just pacing all night, and I was so excited in my apartment to shoot it. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, oh, my God, I actually have to cut Bob's leg off. People like Bob. This is this may not be a good thing. You know, there hasn't been too intense of a backlash just yet. At least not in person. Yeah,
so after you shot episode one of the new season, though, for all you knew, we'd never see the Terminus guys again, right? That could have been it for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because they moved on. Rick and the guys moved on. So
right.
You could have just been in the rearview mirror. So a nice surprise for you to be able to come back for the next
episode. Yeah, it is. You know, there's no shortage of surprises on the show. And nobody is safe, especially a guy who is in conflict and who has tension with the main characters of the show. So, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen from episode to episode.
I'll tell you when I'm going to come after you.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you three names.
Okay.
Rick.
Uh-huh.
Glenn.
Yeah.
Daryl. You touch them, you're in trouble.
Okay, everybody else is free game. Just those three guys.
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay. All right. So,
Bean, you have any?
Well, there's still some hotties left on the show. Yeah. Let's not forget that. I mean, I don't want to lose Maggie either while we're talking about
it. We can't have that.
Let's go with Carl. You can eat Carl.
Okay.
Yeah,
but there's not much. Well, I mean, he's not a thin guy, but he's a kid. There's a lot more. There's a lot more.
Yeah, there's not enough meat.
Yeah, there's a lot more meat on Tyrone. Tyrese, I mean. A lot more meat on Tyrese. Yeah, that's where I'd go, I think.
Do you think Gareth is going to take down Tyrese?
Yeah, I don't know if I see that happening. I'll pass some notes along to the writers, because I'd love to come see you guys again. It'd be terrible to be banished forever.
Andrew, I understand that you were and are a fan of the comic book of The Walking Dead as well.
I am.
And I know there are some differences in the way the stories are unveiling, but there is a parallel to Gareth in the book, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And that's Chris.
Yes, Chris of the Hunters. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. The way that they introduce this character, Gareth, in the show is unlike any character in the comics. So when I first got the job, I didn't know if it was actually based on a character from the comics. But I caught up on the comics, and I read them all, and I was very familiar with the Hunters arc. I had no idea if it would actually come into play. When I got episode 2, you get that first taste of, oh, this character is actually inspired by Chris. The monologue at the end of episode 2 is directly drawn from one of the issues of the comics. You know, the setup of that scene is quite different, but it's a shocking arc in the comics too. It's visually, you know, the panels are great, the language is great. I mean, you know,
you've referred to that twice. I do have the clip of you talking to Bob. You knock Bob out, he's coming to, you're around a fire with a barbecue, as they say, and you're talking.
Didn't start that way, eating people. It evolved into that. We evolved. We had to. And now, we've devolved into hunters. I just hope you understand that nothing happening to you now is personal. If it makes you feel any better, you taste much better than we thought you would.
I'm not sure. Is that a compliment? Or is that meant to make him feel better about the fact that you're eating his foot?
A little backhanded compliment there,
right?
Yeah, a little bit. Gotta, you know.
Do you think Gareth is he just stone cold reasonable? He's able to disassociate food from people. He's able to just look at it as just like killing a deer. I mean, is that what's going on in his head, or is he at all conflicted with the fact that, man, I hate to do this, but I've just got to for survival's sake?
All right, hold that thought. We have to take a break.
Okay. Oh, Andrew.
We can answer that when we get back.
I asked that question. God damn it.
No, you'll get your answer.
Current issue of Us Magazine has a feature called TV's Top 10 Villains, the biggest baddies currently on the air, from Gotham to Game of Thrones. Both of them are on the list. At number 2 from Gotham, by the way, is the Penguin, Oswald Cobblepot. And number 1 on that list is Gareth from The Walking Dead, played by actor Andrew West, who is in studio with us now on The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, you had your guys kill the Penguin, if I recall, from episode 1 of this season.
That's right. We didn't like the blonde hair.
took his head off.
It had to go.
All right. My question before the break, sir, was what's going on in Gareth's head that allows him to so seemingly callously be a cannibal?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. I think at this point he does see human beings as any other type of game. I think that was the question that we were about to get to, right?
Good character, bad character.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he always saw it that way, and I think we get a sense of that from the premiere episode where we see the flashbacks, where we see that these people did in fact have a sanctuary at one point in time. It was taken from them. Some horrible things happened to them, and the traumatic effect on their psyche, I think, you know, radically changed the way that these people look at human beings. You know, the interesting thing about the end of episode 2 is the way that I approached that scene is I felt like Gareth had probably given that speech a number of times to maybe a number of different, you know, different people.
Right.
And I think probably in the beginning he meant a lot of that. You know, there was a little bit more sincerity. I think as time went on, he became a little more callous to it, a little more detached. And the tone shifts a little bit. I think he certainly has a certain amount of pride in a job well done, you know?
Hey, look, you were on the border of giddy. Yeah, I mean, you sort of have that weird, creepy smile, like, yeah, I'm enjoying this.
You know, that's the thing. It's an interesting scene because I'm saying certain things. You know, we hate this ugly business. Nothing's personal. The attitude doesn't necessarily match what he's saying. And so it's a very complicated scene. And the thing is more will be revealed about what's going on there as we move forward too. Okay. So we'll learn more about all of this.
About the backstory in Terminus and how you got turned into a bad guy or no?
Yeah, well, we're going to learn more about where this character is coming from, I think, and his relationship with, you know, this group, but also just people in general,
right.
I think. So, yeah, more to come on that.
One thing we do know from humans who have found themselves in extraordinary situations, whether it's the Donner Party or whether it's the plane crash in the Andes with the soccer players, is that people will do whatever they have to do to survive. And I guess it's foolish to think that that wouldn't be the case in this zombie apocalypse either. Is there going to be a certain number of people who are going to go, okay, that's a reasonable decision. It's us or them, and I don't want to die.
Right. I agree with that. But when you look at Rick and all of the different people in that group who have had to do horrible things, they hate themselves for having to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Gareth, little happy.
He seems to be at peace with his choices.
Yes.
Yeah,
which is sort of odd.
Well, yeah, and I think it speaks to the way that something as horrific as this type of apocalypse affects a person's psyche. Again, you know, the latest expression of that is this character Gareth, who, you know, does some vile, depraved things. I mean, you know, we see that. But what's going to be interesting moving forward is we get a glimpse of a person in Gareth who wasn't always that way, who was changed because of certain things that happened to him. Now, with the increasingly horrific things that happened to Rick and company, the latest manifestation of that is Gareth and what happens at Terminus. With those things piling up for Rick and his group, it's going to be interesting to see how that affects their psyches moving forward and you know, what type of effect that will have on not only Rick, but some of the other members of his group.
You've reinforced my decision a long time ago to never go to church, by the way. I will tell you that. one thing I've learned from this.
Dangerous places.
Kevin and Bean listener Daniel asks on Twitter, @KevinandBean, please ask Andrew what they were eating on set.
Yeah, that's something I'm asked a lot.
Bob's foot. How much of an obvious clue do you need?
Yeah, I mean, clearly they showed it.
They show it.
I mean, come on, method. We take this stuff seriously.
Did you know what it was?
Yeah. No, it was. It was very well prepared pork.
Pork.
It was pork. It was so good. It was so good.
Did you have a moment though where it just kind of got stuck in your throat and creeped you out? Just that transference of what it's supposed to be.
Not really.
No.
Because he knows he's an actor.
It's a TV show.
You know, he's a bad man. We've already lost him.
No, it's an interesting question. But, you know, I mean, I was so in it at that point. And obviously, you know, Gareth is at the point now where he's certainly not going to be grossed out by it. But, no, it was good. It made that the last line of that scene really easy to say. You know, you taste much better than we thought you would. I was like, this food on set tastes actually a lot better than I thought that it would.
Talking about Walking Dead, AMC Sundays at 9. Andrew West, who plays Gareth, is in the studio. Tell us about auditioning for the show. You were already a fan. You auditioned for the show.
Right.
Tell us about the script that you read and the information that was not given to you.
Yeah, fascinating process. So I went in and I auditioned, and I knew that it was for the show, obviously, but the material that you audition with is written specifically for the audition. It's not material from the show because they want to protect against spoilers. So I go in and I audition, and it's this scene that's like, you know, like I'm an office worker or something, and I'm like complaining about having to stay late. I'm like, man, there's no zombie apocalypse going on in this world. I don't know what this is. But it was an involved audition. There was many different parts to it. But, you know, I find out that I got the job a couple days later. I hop on a flight to Atlanta, and I still have no idea who I'm playing. I don't know what my character's name is.
Why wouldn't they tell you after they hire you?
Well, they did eventually. I didn't find out right away, but the writers really know what they're doing. The writers and the producers on this show really know what they're doing. They know how to cast the right people, but also protect the material for the show. So they vetted me enough with the material that they saw fit to you know, decide that, all right, this is the guy, you know, he's going to be able to do this very specific job that we need done, but we're not going to give out that information. You know, it's on a need-to-know basis, essentially, because the show surprises so much.
Right.
There's so many shocking things. And
but as an actor, don't you need some time to mentally prepare?
Plan? You do need a little time. And I did get the material and my, you know, character's name, I think like a day or two before we started shooting.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Not a lot.
A day or two.
Yeah. You know, TV, and this isn't uncommon. I mean, TV especially moves very fast. But again, you know, Scott Gimple's on set, the showrunner, everybody's there. They are there to help you. They're there to guide you through this process. And you do need that help, especially when you first come into a job like this. But even shooting the finale of season four, you know, I didn't know where this story was going. I didn't know if Gareth would be a guy who would maybe, immediately join forces with Rick's group, or if Terminus was a legit sanctuary, if he'd be a quote unquote villain right off the bat. You know, I had no idea. It was very interesting.
That's a weird way to work. Yeah. Isn't Robert Kirkman, and we've been lucky enough to have him on the show a dozen times over the years, so impressive in person?
Oh, my God, yeah. Love that guy.
So smart and so in control. And when you consider the 1,000 decisions a week that he has to make, not just for The Walking Dead book and TV show, but all the other projects that he's involved in, he's just so calm and cool and collected. I don't know how he keeps it together. I really don't.
It's mind-blowing. It's kind of overwhelming. I don't know. You know, for some reason we just never crossed paths. He wrote episode 2, but he wasn't around when we were shooting that. And I met him recently, just a handful of weeks ago, at the premiere, because he is such a busy guy, and
right.
You know, he's not always around on set and stuff. But yeah, he's a pretty special guy. I mean, you know, just as prolific as he is, it's pretty amazing.
He writes this stuff.
Right.
And then he's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah. I know.
Funny. Where does all that darkness come from?
It's the same thing with Scott Gimple, the showrunner for the show. Hilarious guy. Really, you know, just like funny, you know, lighthearted.
Is it lighthearted on the set?
Yeah, well, you know, it
is. As lighthearted as it can be.
It is and it isn't. These actors take their job so seriously, as they should. You know, Andy Lincoln, especially, as the number one, really creates a very cool environment on set because, you know, when we're getting ready to jump into a scene, it's all about that scene. And he will go there. You know, he has these very, like, physical things that he does to prepare and these like, you know, motions and these grunts and moans. And it brings you into that place. But when we finish up, it's an extremely tight-knit, happy group. You know, you get together on weekends for dinners and these kinds of things. And it's fun. But it's separated a little bit because you can't be like laughing and joking
and then
walk right into, you know, kneeling over a trough before right. So
not a euphemism, by the way. Really?
This season's going there. But
Nicole writes in, Andy West, a.k.a. Crazy Cannibal Gareth from The Walking Dead, is on Kevin and Bean right now. It's hard to hate him because he's funny and sounds so cute. Hashtag don't eat Bob.
Too late.
I just turned bright red. It's good. It's a good thing that it's radio.
We are out of time, Mr. West. Mm. Man, this is fun.
Hey, thank you.
And I know that you're sworn to secrecy. Can you just tell us anything you want about what's still to come for Gareth?
Well, yeah. You know, somebody asked me on Twitter recently, can you describe the season in one sentence? Relentless. And we're going to see that.
Oh, right.
We're going to see that Sunday night. We're going to see it from here on out. There's going to be some great, shocking, surprising things coming up very soon, too. So it's going to be great.
We can't wait. Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. Come back and see us anytime, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I don't trust that bastard. I don't trust him.
Yeah, he was in here acting all nice, like he would need us if he had the chance.
Yeah. Bastard.
What happened?
Talking about Gareth.
Talking about Gareth.
Oh, the Eaton guy.
Didn't trust that guy for a second, man.
Yeah. Don't trust him.
Hey, Natasha Leggero, very funny comedian actress, joins us next hour. RJ Bell is going to tell us which way it's going to go between your Philadelphia Eagles, Ralph, and Kevin's Arizona Cardinals this weekend.
There's only one result that's going to come from that.
That's
among
correct.
Other week
disappointment
eight picks.
For Ralph.
Also, we got a new batch of Halloween songs to play for you. And speaking of Halloween, hi, Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer.
What's up?
That's all you need to know right there.
Guy makes a full-time job out of being as wrong as he possibly can.
Ralph, describe his costume and how this all got started.
David is a horrible person who hates Halloween, inexplicably hates Halloween.
Right.
So he has to go to a Halloween party because K-Rock's having the big Halloween ball.
By the way, he doesn't have to go. He wants to go. That's what makes this whole thing even more perplexing to me.
I'm going to go.
He's going to go.
You say want and has to. Those words are not true.
His girlfriend wants to be there, right? It's a big part of it. And so it's a costume party, so he has to go in costume. And because Dave hates Halloween and hates costumes, he has the worst costume I've ever seen that he's going to be wearing.
Did you post it?
I did, yes.
At Kevin and Bean?
Yeah, Kevin and Bean.
It is a flimsy piece of polyester clothing on which a horrible picture of a piece of pizza has been silkscreened onto it, and it's got a hole in the top that you put over your head, and it becomes like a triangle-shaped poncho that looks vaguely familiar, similar sort of kind of to a piece of pizza, and it is the slice of heaven pizza costume.
Is there a lower hole cut or just the upper one?
No, just the upper one.
Listen, you say lazy and you say bad. I say awesome and the best costume ever. Because one, it's pizza. Pizza rules.
Yeah, real pizza.
Right?
But it's not even
real pizza.
Pizza
rules. It's like it's a pizza slice.
The mushrooms are like cartoon mushrooms, and then it's like a picture of a pepperoni.
No, that looks bad. But look at the costume.
It's horrible.
Looks good.
Look at
that.
It.
That looks great.
How do you know it's not nachos? I defy you to tell me that's not nachos.
There's a big pepperoni right there.
Could be beans.
I'm just saying, I'm afraid people are going to eat me because of, you know, it looks so realistic.
You should be very afraid of that.
That's the best case scenario.
But, you know, and it's going to be comfortable. It's the best possible costume. Everybody likes pizza, and I like lazy costumes. This is it. This is the best.
Just for the record, that's not pizza. It's a bad representation of pizza.
Right. It's a slice of pizza.
So everybody likes pizza is a stupid argument.
Yeah. If you had something made out of like styrofoam or something, it was like a 3D representation of like a giant slice of pizza and your face was in the crust or something, that would be hilarious.
Well, look, when you dress
cool.
up as a zombie, you're not a zombie. You're just a representation of a zombie. So,
but you can look like a good zombie or you can
this
look
like, is a pizza.
Or you
people
can be
like
a
pizza.
Guy with a t-shirt that says zombie written on it. That's those are your two options when you go out in the zombie costume.
I would
you're
totally,
the guy with the t-shirt that
I
says
would
zombie
totally
on
be
it.
That guy.
Right.
Yeah,
and
zombie.
You're the one should be pelted with eggs and empty beer bottles.
Why does Dave hate Halloween? Is my question, because it really is one of the two biggest party nights of the year.
Why do you like parties?
I've never...
Why do you like it? Someone give me a reason why they like
it. Let me just tell you one thing. I've never in my entire life met somebody that didn't like Halloween.
Right.
It just seems
what's
like
not to like about Halloween?
So
what
fun.
Is there to like? Give me an example.
Parties.
But there's parties every weekend. Why does everyone have to wait till Halloween?
No one waits, but it's an addition too. Tom Bien as well.
I'm the one that has to say it, but candy, let's be honest.
Candy, obviously. Candy there in the stores
but
every
Dave,
time.
But Dave,
that's
like saying there's football every week, so what's the big
there
deal?
There is not
about
football every week.
No.
There's football 16 weeks out of the year where it's regular season.
All right.
And then
that's
you have the
like
playoffs, and then it's gone.
What I'm saying is you're saying that why wait for Halloween for the party? I'm saying it's like a Super Bowl. There's football every week during the season, but the Super Bowl is something special. Halloween is an exaggerated version of a party night because it's something special that people are celebrating. People are having fun. It's got something new and something different.
You know what Halloween does? It makes people worry. Oh, what's my costume going to be?
Worried. People enjoy dressing up.
By the
it's
way,
fun.
Not to mention, almost all the girls wear something slutty.
Yeah, all the girls, Kevin. All the girls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Dave.
You know what I'm saying, Kevin?
Some who shouldn't.
Yeah,
I get it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you hated...
Well, that's the case, then you should just wear a tent or a burka, then.
The pizza will cover it all.
No, it's not covering nearly enough.
It's going to look like a tie for me, but...
Yeah, really. It's going to look like you're wearing an ascot.
How long have you hated Halloween? When you were a kid, did you hate Halloween?
Yeah.
You never liked...
Yeah.
When you were a kid?
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
Because... You have to spend just hours sitting and getting made up, and then you're walking trick or treating, and all the stupid makeup sweating down your face. It's bothering you.
Hold on, as a kid, you complained about going around knocking on doors and getting free candy.
It sucked.
That's the greatest night in the world for a kid.
I can get candy anywhere, anytime, anywhere.
But that's not the point.
That is the point. The point is, I don't need Halloween for candy.
I'd rather be home watching television. It could be the answer to everything, Dave.
I know. Television is the greatest.
That is the answer for Dave for everything. But this is crazy.
Everyone worries about their costume. Then they struggle to find a stupid costume. Then their costume sucks. Everyone's disappointed with the way it comes out. And then the people who...
What world do you live in?
The piece is happening. No, everybody.
What,
everybody.
Sure, to go out and dress up and have fun.
It is. And think about it. How many costume parties have we done? And everybody just complains about, it took so long to get here. It took so long. Because that's another thing. Everyone's going out, so it's all traffic. It's amateur hour. That's what it is, Kevin.
Allow me to speak.
Yes.
Everybody that comes to that Halloween party is going to be in a great mood, except you.
No, everyone's in a grumpy mood because
that's
they
not true.
Stupid.
That just
to dress up.
That's just false.
Listen, you don't talk to the people. I do,
Of
Kevin.
Course I do,
I
you
talk
idiot.
To the people.
Of course
no,
I do.
No, you don't. You hide in your,
oh,
in your ivory tower.
I've never gone to one of our Halloween parties where I haven't enjoyed dressing
right.
up and having fun with other people who are also enjoying dressing
Everybody's
up.
Everybody's having,
a good
having
time.
Fun.
What
You're
was your
wrong
costume?
About
What
that?
Was your costume?
When?
In last year.
I don't remember what any of my costumes were. What difference does it make? It's a fun
I'm
night.
Just saying,
it's a
you
fun
complain
party.
About
Everybody
getting ready.
Happy.
You complain about getting ready.
When I'm getting ready as dead Carl, I'm going to be very happy.
Dave, yeah. try to have a good time at the Halloween party
don't
next Thursday.
Don't spoil everybody's
Listen, I'm
fun.
Not going to spoil it for anyone else. But, you know, I'm going to be happy because I'm wearing my pullover pizza costume. And then
I
when
say,
I have to go to the restroom,
see,
guess what?
My point is you
Take it
shouldn't
off.
Go.
Boo.
With this attitude and this costume, you just shouldn't go.
Hey, Ralph.
Stay at home and watch television like your lazy ass
oh,
wants
I wish
to.
I could.
Well,
hey,
do that
I
and
wish
stop
I
being
could.
A dick.
I wish I could.
Hey, Ralph.
What?
Let's get the security at the door to not allow him in.
That would be so
Turn
awesome.
Turn him away at the door. Let his girlfriend in. Fine.
Yes.
You know.
Because you know she'd have a better time without him because
no
him,
question.
His bitching and moaning.
Yeah. And then, oh, people are going to try to dance? You can't because they're in their stupid big giant costumes. Oh, all these props. Oh, no. I can't dance. I can't move. I can't even go to the bathroom. Costumes suck. Halloween suck.
You're bad and wrong in every way.
Dave sucks! Dave sucks! Dave sucks! Dave
oh,
sucks!
It's tough being right.
You wouldn't know.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
Wow, a lot of hate for Dave as a result of his
well,
Halloween talk
well
here.
Deserved
he
hate.
He deserves it, that hate.
Dear Kevin and Bean, please fire this clipper-loving, wombat-raping, cuddle-whoring, Haley Williams-stalking, Kristen Bell-spooking, half-salad-eating, Mexican, non-Mexican.
Yeah!
Forget firing Beer Mug. Fire Dave!
Word!
That's what
How does
Martin
he remember half-salad?
Half-salad.
Those are the
Dave's,
good old days.
His nickname, the first time we went to lunch, he ordered a half-salad.
Oh,
said,
I just have a half-salad.
Who orders a half of a
I'll
salad?
I'll have a half-salad.
He's been listening a long time. Thank you, Martin. Hey, we'll talk football coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, how about Ralph with the show? Be done on Friday.
CBS says they're going to make less CSI episodes to make way for some new shows waiting to debut on the network, like a CSI spinoff called Cyber.
CBS cares. A CSI spinoff called Cyber.
See, they're running out of places to put CSI.
Well, they got a lot of cities they haven't been in yet.
No, they're out.
Oh, okay.
Now they have to go to the cyber world. They're going to have CSI Cyber.
Hmm. That's going to be exciting, watching people type.
It will. Oh, you just hacked. You hacker.
Is anything more ridiculous than the computer hacker guy on the blacklist who is able to bring up anything
oh, yeah.
that is asked within 3 seconds?
You don't
seconds.
Know, man.
I do know.
That goes all the way back to 24 when Chloe, what's her name?
Chloe, yeah.
Used to be able to do that
it's,
in 5 seconds.
It's on every, I don't know what your hate on is for the blacklist, Bean,
but yeah, he's wrong.
It's out of proportion because that's every TV show with anybody who's supposed to be good at computers. You ever watch The Arrow?
Same.
Smoke, what's her name? Felicity?
Yep.
Felicia, whatever her
name
is.
I think it's Felicity.
She can go onto her computer and hack into any security system and any set of surveillance cameras anywhere in Starling City at any time.
Because, Bina, I don't think you would want them to explain, like, the long process or show
or
how long
the
it would
take. Or
take
the actual time.
Right.
All right, hold on a second. You want me to look that up? All right, okay. Wait, hold on.
Hang on.
No? All right, oh, I got a firewall here. Hold on a second.
Come back in an hour.
Hold on. Hold on, Agent Keen. No, all right. All right, I need a password. Give me a...
I don't remember my password.
No, what, no, give me your what's your dog's name. Give me
so for dramatic that. Purposes, you're saying it's just
accept
as a,
it.
It's a time saver.
Just
yes.
accept it.
Okay.
You wouldn't watch the other way.
No, Bean right. would. Oh,
he just, would?
Oh, if there was some lengthy, boring, detail-driven, hour-long procedural drama.
They would get to that part in the show, and that would it. They would just have to show them trying to get through the firewall for the rest of the episode.
Oh, you guys know I live for tedious.
If there was like a boring guy behind a computer who talked to a Taylor Swift fan and a guy who owned satellite dishes, oh, it'd be Bean's number one show.
So good.
So good. I'm getting a little tired of you picking on Blacklist.
As am I. I love that show. It's
she's the worst FBI agent in the world.
It's a ridiculous show.
Well, then don't watch it. We don't want you.
You don't get it then.
We don't want you. Go away.
Stay out of our backyard.
Ralph and I love it.
At least Pee-wee was super realistic on that show. His character.
Why don't you stop watching, a-hole?
Yeah, stop watching. He was great on that show.
What show was he in?
Did you
he
just watch it so you could come in and poop all over it?
No. I watch it because I love James Spader. He is, you can't take your eyes off. Every move he makes is brilliant.
Watch
That's
James
why I watch
Spader
it.
And shut your pie hole.
Just get a poster of James Spader and put it up over your bed and just have yourself watching him and leave us alone because we love Blacklist.
You don't think Pee-wee took you out of that story? With the ridiculous cartoon villain that he was playing that looked like he was out of like a Scooby-Doo episode or something.
That was the point. He was a decoy to out who was going to betray Red.
It was absurd.
Bean, I'm with you.
We're going to have to agree to disagree. Show. And both of you should shut up.
A terrible show.
James Spader is great.
And with Lisa May saying something is a terrible show is hilarious, by the way.
Terrible.
You two are off the list.
That's right.
The Blacklist?
Yep.
Yes. Stay out of it.
Okay.
God, I hate
just.
You.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, we like it, so stop saying. Back to you, Ralph.
Honey Boo Boo got canceled.
Aw.
Yeah, Lisa's upset about that. That was a good show.
Yeah, I watch that all the time.
TLC canceled the show after they found out that Mama June, well, she's just dating a child molester, that's all.
That is insanity.
She's I know this guy, Mark McDaniel, got out of prison in March after serving 10 years for forcible oral sex with an 8-year-old child.
Look, she's not smart, but even somebody that's got an IQ of like 20 wouldn't do that, right?
Oh, I forgot to mention the victim was also a member of her family.
Not her kids, but somebody else in her family.
Yeah. Wow. But look, they're all related somehow. Agreed. So it's hard to find someone who's not part of her family. TLC, by the way, admirably, is canceling the show after having shot an entire new season of episodes.
Wow.
They simply will not air them, so they are taking a financial hit with this decision, but it is obviously the right thing to do.
Good for them.
For the welfare of the kids in that family. And here's the thing, you got to step in further than that, right? Just canceling the show isn't going to protect these children from whoever this guy's dating. Yeah. So hopefully the authorities are involved as well, but it's just terrifying. To think that she is allowing access of that kind of person to her children in her home.
But at least he just got out of prison serving 10 years.
Right.
So that probably softened him up.
He's probably well-adjusted. I'm sure he has a job.
Who knew that Sugar Bear might have been the best that June could do?
Everyone!
Everyone!
Everyone who ever saw an episode of that show said, how was she so lucky to land him?
How did she get anyone?
Well, it's that tractor foot she's got.
That's right. I forgot.
Pretty alluring. It's hard to turn away from tractor foot.
Pretty sexy.
Forklift foot. I'm sorry. Forklift foot. Not tractor foot.
So good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin Kline is 67 years old today. Actor B.D. Wong turns 54. Casey Wilson of the new show Marry Me is 34 years old today. Drake turns 28, and Shanae Grimes celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedian actress Natasha Leggero joins us coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, it's Friday. That means it's time to talk football. We go to Las Vegas with our friend R.J. Bell on the line. He is the founder of Pregame.com. What's the one or two sentence description you give to Pregame.com for why people need to go there, R.J.?
It's a sports site, but it focuses on sports betting. So if you like to play against the spread, we've got free picks, videos, audio, the whole thing, all for free.
And RJ knows what he's doing. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Before we talk about some of the games that he's picking for us this week, Kevin, you had a question for Mr. Bell.
Yeah, I don't understand this. How do a lot of these statistics go over different seasons? They do it in every sport. You know, they go, oh, yeah, they've won 19 out of the last 24 in the last three seasons. And when you're starting to go to different teams, different situations, I don't understand how any statistic goes over several seasons.
It's a great question, and it's really one of the debates that you see within the industry, which is the more seasons you go, the more data you have. And statistically, the more data you have, the better. So on one hand, more seasons is preferable. On the other hand,
weren't they completely different situations each year?
Different players, yeah.
And that's the flip side.
Oh.
On one hand, you want more data. That's the ideal.
Right.
On the other hand, as the years go, the data becomes less applicable. So it's really a balancing act. You take less data and be more applicable, or vice versa. And it's really more art than science when it comes to the best approach.
Well, whatever you're doing is working.
So do you factor it in? Like, I watched the Monday night game, and they were talking about how dominant the Steelers have been on Monday night over the years. It can't possibly matter how many games they won in the 70s on Monday night with the guys that are on the field tonight. You know?
Most of the time I would agree with you, but I would say this, is certain teams have an institutional profile. Pittsburgh is one of them, is we are hard-nosed. You don't come into our house with the bright lights on Monday night and beat us. I mean, imagine Pittsburgh. It doesn't matter if it's 2014 or 1994. For those who have followed the NFL for a long time, there's a sense of that team at the institutional level.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's
so
interesting.
I do agree with you that if most trends – I'll give you another trend I have. The Jets are a horrible home team, and this goes back 20-some years. And you might say, oh, why does that matter? Well, maybe it's the way the fans are. If the team isn't playing so well, they start booing. You know, so I do believe there's institutional factors that can extend back decades. But in general, you want the stats to be as applicable to the current team as possible.
Well, the Jets is because they're in New Jersey. I mean, that just hasn't changed, let's face it. All right, I know you're a Steelers fan, and that's why I'm interested to hear what you have to say about this first game, because it's two teams you care very much about, Baltimore at Cincinnati.
Yeah, so this is our upset special. By the way, we are 13-5 so far, 72% on what we're doing with you guys.
That's very pretty
nice.
Strong.
Very upset, nice. Cincinnati plus one, hosting Baltimore. There's lots of reasons to like Baltimore because, you know, it's been bet that way. They have the number one scoring defense. And then Andy Dalton in his career against Baltimore, 7 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, so not so good. And you look at Cincinnati, they've been outgained this season. And they were even playing worse lately. So that all sounds like reasons to like Baltimore. But the reaction here has just been too much in this game. Remember, these teams played the first week of the season at Baltimore, and the game was around Pick'em, which meant Cincinnati was 3 points better because home field in the NFL is about 3.
Right.
Now, Cincy is a dog at home, which means Baltimore is perceived to be at least 3 points better. 6 points of swing since the first week of the season, that's just too much. Plus, Cincinnati at home during the regular season has covered 11 of their last 12. This is a very good home team. Give me the Bengals in the upset.
Right. Those games that you have to pick by, you know, plus one, they must keep you up at night, RJ. They're so close.
True enough, but in a way, it simplifies things because if it's plus one, minus one, or pick them, you're pretty, you know, obviously you're picking the winner. The question is, and the next game is an example of that, when you have a team that's getting 10 points, you don't have to win, obviously, in order to cover, so you got to think about the psychology of how the game's going to play.
Now, is that Green Bay, New Orleans we're talking about?
No, actually, next game, best bet, I'm taking Washington on Monday night, plus 10 against Dallas.
Wow.
And best bet of the week. Now, listen, Dallas has been upgraded by Vegas more than any other team this year. So they've been playing great. There's no doubt about it. And they're running the ball really well. But remember, when you run in the NFL, it quickens the game. There's less plays. So now if the scoring is lower because there's less plays, that plus 10 we get with Washington becomes even more valuable. Additionally, Dallas is in a horrible situation a couple different fronts. One, they don't do well when they succeed. When they're favored after winning a game, 3-14 against the spread, the Cowboys. When they're favored at home, they've only covered 7 of 27 in that spot. Now, favored on Monday Night Football, 1-10 against the spread. So all kind of bad trends against Dallas. You got this Washington team, 2-5. Not a good record, but they had the second best yardage differential in the NFL. So they've actually done much better on the field, but they've been unlucky on the scoreboard. So our best bet here is Washington plus 10.
All right. Are a lot of Americans falling in love with the Cowboys all over again because of the strong start this year and flocking to Las Vegas to put money down for them to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. They're dusting off their Cowboys jerseys. You know, they've been in the back of the closet for a while. But, you know how it is when there's something you care about and then it gets disappointing, you don't have – unless you're really a fanatic, you don't have as much passion for it. But then when you have – it's like when the band – you know, the Eagles come by, let's say, and you get out your Glenn Frey shirt. I mean – So to me, I think there's some analogies that you've got a lot of closet, no pun intended, Dallas fans that got the jerseys out.
First Glenn Frey reference on the Kevin DeBean Show 2014. All right, and finally, the New Orleans Saints have been a frustrating team to watch this year. You point out on the site that they should have a much better record than they do. They just had some bad breaks along the way, and now they're going up against Green Bay.
I could sing the Spanish Hotel California.
No, we'd rather you didn't.
Big game of the week here, and I really like the Saints at home, favored by 1.5 against Green Bay. You know, we really like as pro bettors, there's spots that the general public is deceived. And the fact is the Saints could easily be 6-1. They lost three close games that could have went either way. Now you look at Green Bay, they're 5-2. That looks good, right? But they've been outgained by 260 yards this season. So on both sides, there's a little bit of deception going on. And then how do we know so much that the public has reacted to this and the betting market has? Look at the historic nature of this spread. Saints at home, favored by 1.5. First time since 2008 with Coach Payton on the sidelines, the Saints at home are not favored by at least 2 points. And remember, the Saints have the second best home field in the NFL, only behind Seattle. Last 20 home games with Payton, they've lost only once against the spread. Think about that. 20 games, wow. They've lost only once. Now I'm laying a historically low number. Give me the Saints only favored by 1.5.
All right, those are your picks at RJ Bell from pregame.com. Again, on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. By the way, do you post your picks for all the games on the website, RJ?
You know what I do is I actually have about 200, if you can believe it, trends every week and stats that I put up on all the games, and I tweet that out from my Twitter account.
Great, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, guys.
Big, big weekend. One of the greatest comedy events of all time is happening tomorrow at the Shrine Expo Hall and Grounds. It is Festival Supreme, curated by our good friends in Tenacious D. We're very excited to say, A, we have tickets to give away for you right now if you're caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. And B, one of the funny people you'll see tomorrow afternoon is on the phone with us, Natasha Leggero. How are you, Natasha?
Hi, great.
Thanks so much for joining us. You know, I was wondering, now that we've got the Ebola all over the United States, it's almost impossible to go outside without getting it. If people are just going to only talk on the phone now, like nobody's going to want to ever be in person with another human.
I mean, I'm already there. I feel like we could do most things by Skype.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Holograms and Skype.
I'm not getting in a hot tub with you anymore, I'll tell you that. It's not happening.
I have to say, though, unless you're going, this is why you should go out in public to come see this event this weekend, because I'm looking at the lineup right now. There are so many amazing people.
Yeah, it's insane.
It really is. I mean, it's hard to believe that this many people would even be available and in the same city on the same day. We just had Doug Benson in yesterday, who I think is going on right before you tomorrow afternoon. And he was just like, I just want to get down there first thing as soon as the gates open and just wander around, because everybody I've ever cared about is in one place at one time.
I know. It's going to be so fun. I'm like people like Fred Armisen that you never get to see. I just saw Bo Burnham the other night at Largo. He is awesome.
Down!
Ben Heidecker.
Down, boy! Down!
Sorry.
She needs some help?
Quiet!
us or the dog.
That is a yipe yipe. That's a yipe yipe. Is that a chihuahua?
That is three chihuahuas, and my friend told me that when my dogs bark, the Rockford and me come, the Italian comes out.
You have three chihuahuas. What a nightmare that is. They're such nervous little dogs.
They're really usually good, and, you know, my boyfriend takes care of them with me, so I don't have to deal with them all.
Natasha, we all have dogs on this show, and we all love dogs, and I'm starting to be driven crazy because my dogs now, and they just started doing this, bark when the phone rings.
Oh, my God, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it is. Every time the phone rings, they bark. And I don't know how to explain to them that there's nobody in the driveway, there's nobody at the door. It's just, it's insane. Do your dogs do anything that's impossible for you to figure out or to control?
Wait, maybe your dogs are just trying to tell you to get rid of the landline.
Could be.
Yeah, they could be mocking me, I guess.
Hey, idiot, get a cell phone.
yeah, what they did just now when I was talking to you was pretty annoying, which was all three go crazy, I think, at a squirrel. So
yeah, exactly. You know. Natasha Leggero on the phone with us right now. She's going to be at Festival Supreme tomorrow. And the reason she's not here with us today, for reals, it's not the Ebola, is because she is in the middle of filming what sounds like the greatest show to ever come to Comedy Central with a hilarious and unfortunate name, Another Period. What can you tell us about it, Natasha? Because we can't wait.
Why is it an unfortunate name? It takes place in another period. It takes place in 1902, the Gilded Age of America, which to me is like such a crazy time in history. If you know anything about history, America was kind of being built and, you know, capitalism was being invented. There was no income tax. And these people were just living like rappers, the rich people.
It's kind of like an American Downton Abbey, right?
Well, it's kind of like if the Kardashians lived at Downton Abbey. And it's not Downton Abbey. It's the same time period as Downton Abbey, but America had their own version of what was happening during you know, the Gilded Age, obviously. When you watch Downton, they're in England. But,
right.
You know, they were going bananas in Rhode Island.
I bet it was a great time to be rich and white in this country, wasn't it?
There were plenty of destitute white people, I think, living in tenement housing. But yes, to be rich, to be one of those robber barons who was just sort of owning everything, like, you know, one person would own railroads and they just bought Nevada and, you know, they just were just monopolizing everything. So, and there were no laws yet. So
good times.
There was no regulation, so and Americans were just kind of trying to be like kings and queens. So yeah, it's a fun time, but this is a comedy, so you know it's not so serious.
When is that going to debut?
Well, we're finishing shooting this week, and probably next year on Comedy Central, maybe spring or summer.
That's awesome. All right, one more thing for you, Natasha. And again,
we're delighted
to get to talk to you. And maybe we need to talk to you again as we get closer to this
event. You guys are so nice. You guys are so sweet. I felt like I thought you guys were dicks.
Why did you think that?
Wait, did you say you thought we were dicks?
No, well, I thought that. No, I didn't swear.
What did you say?
For some reason, I don't remember you guys being so sweet, so thank you for being so nice.
We're delightful. Are you kidding me?
Sometimes DJs can be a little rough.
Why don't you shut up?
No, here's the question, and again, maybe we should save this for another time, but you did Drunk History.
Yes.
I am doing Drunk History next year.
You are?
And I never have drunk. I do not drink at all, ever.
He's never been drunk one time.
Never been drunk in my life. My question for you is, what is your advice on what alcohol I should use for my first ever time drinking, knowing it is going to be filmed and put on television?
I am so confused by this statement. So you are – who's having you do it, Derek?
Yes. The guys were in at the beginning of season three, and we were chatting, and we were talking about how I've never been drunk, but that I would love to do Drunk History because I'm very passionate about spreading the word of the great American astronomer Clyde Tombaugh. I want to tell that story on TV, and they said, if you will get drunk on our show, we will let you tell the Clyde Tombaugh story. So I said, I'm in, and he said, I'm in, and now it's going to happen. But I don't know where to even begin with this because I'm not a drinker, and I'm looking for all the people who have done the show. I'm looking for advice.
I think the safest one that I could say is Long Island iced teas.
Oh my God. Wait, I want to know from like a therapy point of view, why have you never needed a drink?
Yeah, that's weird.
It's just not something I ever got into. I just never picked up the habit. I don't have anything against it. It's not like I'm a crazy, you know.
How do you relax?
I don't know. It's never been a part of my thing, you know? So. I'm a little bit nervous about drinking for the first time so publicly because, as Doug Benson pointed out yesterday, I'm going to vomit. He says you guaranteed will vomit the first time you get drunk, and that makes me nervous.
Shots of Jaeger.
I have an idea.
Yes,
why don't you have a little pre-drunk history cocktail party the week before?
Nope. Mm-mm. I don't want that to happen. I want this to be the first time.
I'm just worried it's going to be terrible. Is it going to be terrible, Natasha?
Well, you just don't know how – yeah. Why don't you
it's troubling, right?
Please don't talk about it, Natasha.
Why don't you I just want you to get so drunk that you have alcohol poisoning or something.
Thanks.
I do.
That's an idea. Just be very sophisticated, very Gilded Age. Why don't you open, like, get the nicest bottle of champagne? It'll just taste kind of like sparkly 7-Up, and just sip it, and you'll just get a little, like, you know.
It's not called sipping history.
You know how drunk they want you to be,
but
Natasha. You told the Patty Hearst, I've never been drunk.
Yeah, it shouldn't take much, right? It really shouldn't take much at all.
He'll drink, you know, a glass and a half of Veuve Clicquot, and he'll just be giggling. And it'll be funny.
Here's my fear.
Then you can do some tequila shots. Like, get half the story out, you know? Like, don't try to get wasted and then do it, because you're also going to be dealing with, like, new sensations.
I got to pace myself, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. And new sensations, not just in being drunk, but also, like, being on TV. Like, it's... What I found was really hard was I got drunk, and then I got too drunk. You know, Jeremy Connor, who also directs Another Period, our show, he came over with Derek, and I was already so drunk, I fell asleep in the bathtub.
Oh, my God.
And then they had to come over the next week and do it again.
Oh, so I need to carve out a significant chunk of time to make sure they get the film they need then.
Oh, yeah. Well, because they were doing two in an evening, so they would do one at, you know, 5 o'clock and then one at 10.
Here's
the 10 o'clock one, so I was already, like, really drunk. And, it was too much.
Here's what's awesome about that show is that you really don't know where that line is of being drunk and happy and then a little too drunk and then you're going to throw up drunk. That line moves and is different for everybody.
Then you're putting baby oil on yourself in a bathtub in front of a camera crew.
Yeah.
Well, who
I hope that happens
done that?
With Bean as well.
Natasha Leggero is going to be appearing at Festival Supreme tomorrow afternoon. VIP packages are available. It's 17 and up. Go to Ticketmaster.com. It's an unbelievable lineup with everybody you've been hearing about, with Workaholics and with Cheech of Chong and The State and Fred Armisen and Bill Hader and Nick Kroll. The list goes on and on and on. You're going to have a great time out there, Natasha. We've had a great time talking to you. Let's do it again soon. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Less than a half an hour from right now, we're going to hook you up with tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball, which is 1 week from tonight. It's going to be October 30th at the Fonda with 30 Seconds to Mars. Get your details at krock.com. $5,000 costume contest. We know Dave won't win it. At least we got that much out here today. Speaking of Halloween, give me a little Halloween spooks, Kevin. Come on.
Halloween. All right. We have some other Halloween songs that people have sent in.
Well, that has been your point, is how are we still playing Halloween spooks? There must be something better out there.
Yeah, and Monster Mash is 40 years old or something, right?
Yeah.
Even the contemporary classics, the Ghostbusters and the Thrillers of the world, are from the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. So the winner in my eyes so far is 10-year-old Michal Britt. Or Michael. I never know how to say it.
Two Eyeballs.
Called Two Eyeballs. That's the best. That's the leader, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
Classic.
So we have some other songs that have been sent in. This is EMGC, and the name of the song is Halloween Spirit.
That is disorienting and troubling.
Yeah, I feel like that's what you would use to question terrorists.
Right.
Break them down. The Gonzalez fam, it's Halloween.
Fire beer mug.
Good start.
It's All Hallows Eve. Time to spread my seed. I'm the real pumpkin king. Come spend some time with me. If you choose to ride with me, we'll trick or treat eternally. Trick or treat eternally. Stop party people, listen, gonna tell you about my family tradition. Candy, forget that. Go to the park and get a real fat sack.
So we've got that going for us.
Okay.
I'm comfortable hearing about his sack, but thank you for the submission.
This is Jack Poe, and the song is called Halloween. Here's my whole thing. Here's my problem. Most of these songs are fine in 20-second clips, 30-second clips. You want to listen to that, a whole song?
You know, it's weird. A lot of people try to be Marilyn Manson when they're making a Halloween song.
Yeah, true.
It's hard to out-Manson Manson.
The Key of Awesome is great.
They are great. Yeah, we've featured a lot of their videos over the years on the Internet Roundup.
They were the ones on April Fool's too, right?
I think so.
I believe so. They did a modern Monster Mash.
Surely all the other guests won't be this rude. Like this classic monster, a scary hip dude. He's got a kooky style and a spooktastic look. Oh my god, he just hung the waiter on a meat hook. Why?
It's Leatherface.
He's cutting him up with a chainsaw.
It's what he does.
Who is Freddy Krueger?
He haunts your dreams.
Ooh, he sounds like a real spooker.
I murder teens. You can't escape me, bitch.
Language. In my day, the monsters would just give you a spook. Nowadays, it seems they all just want to make you puke. Ah, the human centipede. That sounds like a hit. Wait, the ones in back have to eat the front ones.
No,
awesome.
Come on, is that the best thing ever?
I love that.
A great video to go with that one, too, by the way. We need to put that up.
That is a winner right there.
Yes.
And Laura Hewitt. Used to be our intern, Bean.
Yes, I remember her.
She now lives in
Sweden.
Sweden.
Yeah. Still keeps in touch, still listens to the podcast from time to time, and heard that we were looking for new Halloween songs.
She sent in Halloween spooks.
Filling up on candy, drinking up the shandy. A pumpkin spice latte might come in handy. Believe it or not, it's never been seen. To
Halloween spooks. Like Kevin and outside me. My window.
Outside my
wow.
window.
I like that one better than the original.
I like it. It's good.
I'm gonna be honest.
All right. So we have no end game, right? There's no winner or prize or anything like that. But it sure is fun getting these submissions from the listeners. We have a lot of very creative people out there.
And Halloween Day, we're going to play a lot of them.
Cool.
In 20-second increments. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. What's going on?
Well, Fox News has a message to young women. Don't vote and don't serve on juries. Because you are not worthy.
I can't imagine even Fox News believes that.
Here's the magic of Fox News. They can say anything they want.
Right.
And it just doesn't matter. Because the numbers will stay huge and everyone will make money.
But I'm saying, this seems like it's too extreme even for Fox News.
But it's brilliant because it goes right to their core audience, which is old white people who don't think that young people or minorities know anything. And those young people are watching. They're not offending young women by saying this because no young women are watching the show.
Now that is true.
I guess that's true.
It becomes a phenomenon when it goes viral and people talk about it, but no young woman actually watched this and said, I can't believe they just said that about me. It's all after the fact is when this news gets spread. Because their court is going, that's right, young people shouldn't be on juries, and black people cause Ebola.
I will say that Fox News, more than CNN or MSNBC, though, hires the hottest anchors.
They do. They go for heat.
What's that about?
There is a direct correlation between conservative and hot female anchors. Again, because their audience is mostly old white dudes.
Yeah, well.
I want to see some boobies! Here is Kimberly Guilfoyle. She's one of the five.
Never heard of her, never heard of the show.
The Five!
The Five.
That's, it's hosted by Donovan McNabb.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
He was number five for the Eagles for a long time.
My bad.
It is four hardcore conservatives and one elderly liberal who gets roughed up on a regular basis.
Just beat the liberal up.
You can hear him in the background when she starts saying that young women shouldn't be on juries. He goes, well, of course they should. They have a right to be here on a jury. And then she talks him down. But here's the clip.
When you're young like that, you think the same reason why young women on juries are not a good idea. They don't get it.
Right.
They're not in that same like life experience of paying the bills, doing the mortgage, kids, community, crime, education, health care. They're like healthy and hot and running around without a care in the world.
They should be on juries. They have every right in the world.
I didn't say they shouldn't be. I just thank and excuse them so they can go back on Tinder or Match.com.
That's unbelievable.
young women should be on Tinder and Match.com. They shouldn't be filling their pretty little heads with things like voting and juries.
You know what, by the way? Young women in school studying really hard to do Lisa. Really important
you know what?
Things.
Elsa's
they don't exist
getting
for
their MRS degree.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what they're doing.
You know what else is weird? Is that
boom!
She doesn't include young guys who, for the most part, are
much dumber.
Are less mature than young girls.
That's for sure. Yeah.
I don't get that. And you're absolutely right about the MRS degree, because the two examples of where they should be spending their time are both dating sites.
Yeah.
Yes. And she goes, and they're all hot and healthy and running around.
Wait, what state should I be moving to?
Is that a bad, in her quote.
Is that a bad thing?
Hot and healthy and running around. Cut it out, girls.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
So, there
Lisa, you're not going to vote next week, I hope.
Oh, jeez, God. Is there an election? What?
Oh,
thank
okay, good.
You.
Lisa's
hot
and healthy and running around.
That's all she has to do. Go back to Tinder and Match.com, Lisa, where you belong.
And then make us some cupcakes.
Courtney Love, actress? The answer is yes to that question.
Sometimes.
She is on Sons of Anarchy.
She was good on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And she's just been added to a cast. Of a series.
Oh, a full-time?
She's been signed to recur on a TV show on Fox called Empire, which is about a record label, and she will play a female hard rock performer.
Well, stretch.
Hope she can pull that off. Hmm. Look, she played a teacher on Sons of Anarchy. She certainly could play a rock star on Empire. She's been on 18 different TV shows, by the way. She's done guest roles.
What? Really?
Not to mention her work in film, of course. You've seen her in People vs. Larry Flint. She was Oscar-nominated for that.
Huh.
So good for her. It doesn't make her not crazy, though, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hope she doesn't vote.
Oh, she shouldn't. She's going on Tinder.
I don't know that she's young and healthy and running around, though.
She's running around. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sinead Grimes is 25 years old today. She's healthy, hot, and running around. Drake is 28. Casey Wilson from Marry Me is 34. BD Wong is 54 years old today. And actor Kevin Kline celebrates his 67th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Linnea Eccleston from Pasadena, congratulations. We will see you next Thursday night at K-Rock's Halloween Costume Ball with 30 Seconds to Mars. That's at the Fonda Theater. You can't buy your tickets. You can win them here at K-Rock. Got them for you every hour all day long today up until 5 o'clock. And get details at K-Rock.com.
Costume contest pays $5,000.
Right?
Oh, nice.
$5,000.
Right? I'm telling you, Jared Leto's going to win for looking like Jesus. Back in 2012, our next guest, Rob Cantor, singer-songwriter, did a song that was very popular on the internet, created a bunch of memes came off of it. It went viral. It was called Shia LaBeouf.
And somehow
it was
missed this.
A song that he wrote that was all about Shia LaBeouf, the actor, being a bloodthirsty cannibal. And now it is back because he has released a spectacular new live video that we are going to talk to Rob about in a moment. And Shia LaBeouf makes an appearance in the video himself. If you haven't heard this yet, it's tempting for us to play the whole thing. But let's just give you a taste of the song, Shia LaBeouf.
You're walking in the woods. There's no one around and your phone is dead. Out of the corner of your eye, you spot him.
Shia LaBeouf.
He's following you, about 30 feet back. He gets down on all fours and breaks into a sprint. He's gaining on you.
Shia LaBeouf.
You're looking for your car, but you're all turned around. He's almost upon you now, and you can see there's blood on his face. My God, there's blood everywhere.
Running for your life from Shia LaBeouf. He's brandishing a knife. It's Shia LaBeouf. Lurking in the shadows. Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf.
Come on.
He's an actual cannibal.
Slow clap for Rob Cantor, ladies and gentlemen, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Rob.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I got to tell you, I missed that 2 years ago when you did it, and it has been my favorite thing. I've probably watched this video 12 to 15 times in the last couple of days.
Fantastic.
Well, congratulations. It's magnificent work, and I know you had a lot of help on this new video. But before we talk about what's up now, tell us about 2012. How did Shia LaBeouf as a cannibal even happen, Rob?
Well, I have to give credit for the inspiration to my friend Andrew Lorich, who he and I were helping another friend move one day, and out of nowhere he just started whispering Shia LaBeouf's name dramatically.
Now why?
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
He started prancing around the room and saying, Shia LaBeouf.
Was this back before Shia was kind of notorious for being a little bit crazy? Was he still just a regular actor at that point? Or
I guess that might be the case. It was a hammer time for Shia's public image. And
okay.
It was just ridiculous to use his name as this sort of dramatic conclusion. And so the whole cannibal prowling the woods storyline kind of grew out of this dramatic whisper.
And how popular did it get back then when you put the song up on SoundCloud?
It got about 2 million plays on my SoundCloud, posting, and then a lot of people re-uploaded it to YouTube or made sort of their homemade music videos for it on YouTube, and some of those have a lot of views as well. So I think maybe 5 million total people heard it.
Wow.
That's not enough. It isn't enough.
And Rob, by the way, is a very popular singer-songwriter who records lots of songs, has an album for sale, and the whole deal up there. So why did you decide to revisit it again in 2014?
Well, when I recorded the original version in 2012, it was really just a demo. I was hoping that Funny or Die would make it into a comedy sketch, and so I submitted it to them, and it didn't work out, whatever, so I just posted it on my SoundCloud because I thought it was funny. And I was never really, it just sort of happened without me really trying to do anything with it. So
because it's absurd.
It is quite absurd.
Which is what
so
I love.
That was always an incomplete kind of demo version to me. I always wanted to do a full, grand orchestral men's chorus version of the song, and then... And for some reason, this Halloween just seemed like the right time to do it.
All right, so tell us who you got together, because you have an orchestra, you have a chorus, you have, it looks like, Cirque du Soleil.
I wish Cirque du Soleil had officially gotten involved. No, the first group that jumped on board, which kind of made everything else possible, was the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles.
All right, and they're obviously tremendous singers. And it must be so crazy for you as a songwriter to see the words that you wrote come out of their mouths.
It was amazing. Yeah, like the first rehearsal we did with them was such a cool feeling. I mean, first of all, a lot of them had never heard the song before, so they were laughing hysterically and enjoying it. And then to hear them really, nail the big choral arrangement, which was done by my friend Greg Nicolette, it was magical. It was really cool. I posted a video on my Facebook page of the big men's chorus rehearsing a couple of things. So if you want to check that out, it's really fun. But
You got the West LA Children's Choir as well.
Yes. Once the Gay Men's Chorus was involved, I think that gave it a sort of stamp of approval. And the West LA Children's Choir jumped on board, and they were amazing as well. That was a whole other experience, recording the kids' choir with their parents in the control room, not really knowing if they knew what the song was about, and was sitting there doing take after take of "You Have Just Decapitated Shia LaBeouf." I wasn't really sure. It all worked out.
So, Rob, it took 4 months to plan, yet you shot the whole thing in one day. That's amazing. You said there were 161 people involved in making this video.
That's correct. Yeah, it was an ambitious one-day shoot. That was really all we could afford, so we had to squeeze it in, and... it was a tight day, but I didn't even really, kind of miraculously, we stayed right on schedule. Everything went pretty much exactly as we planned on the shoot day, which no one was expecting.
Why did you go with the spoken word, with the narrator? Why did you go with that instead of singing or anything else that normal songs do?
I don't know.
I love it. I think it's the right choice, but it's just weird.
It just seemed right, I guess, and back in 2012 when I was writing the song, it felt like, it needs to be some sort of a radio play.
Was Shia there while you were filming the video, or did you guys add him after?
He was there on the day. We shot from 7 in the morning till about 6:30 at night, and, Shia was really only in the last little bit. So he was scheduled to come at 3:45. He showed up at 3 and watched us do some takes of the kind of the latter half of the video, and was really enjoying it, and then we shot his stuff from about 4:30.
Were you a little nervous, singing "Living in the Woods, Killing for Sport," Shia LaBeouf? I mean,
definitely. I had no idea what he was gonna, what he was gonna be like, and what he was gonna think of the whole thing.
And what was his reaction to you?
It was amazing. He was super warm and super nice and professional. And like I said, he showed up early and. He was great. He was unpretentious and just did a great job and hung out and had a nice time with us. It was really surreal and awesome.
at some point, you had the idea to include him in the video. That's a step beyond just recording it about Shia LaBeouf. So you had people that reached out to his people and just you breathlessly waited until you heard back whether he'd do it or not?
He has way more people than I have. I just emailed his manager directly. I don't really have a ton of people. So, yeah, I emailed his manager and said, hey, I'm trying to get this message to Shia. His, you know, I found his manager's info online, whatever. It was just a cold email. And, yeah, I said, I'm trying to get in touch with Shia, and I sort of explained the concept for the video. I knew he had heard the song before because Shia tweeted out last Halloween, so I knew there was some familiarity. But basically, yeah, I just pitched the concept and said, yeah, I'd really love if you had any desire to be involved. And I put forward a couple ideas as to how he could be involved. And, you know, the being revealed as the slow-clapping audience member at the end was one of them, and then it was actually Shia's idea to turn it into a Citizen Kane homage.
Well, awesome. It's brilliant, Rob. I mean, the whole video from start to finish, obviously they're very, very talented people, and you do a terrific job on it, and having Shia at the end is just the cherry on top. I mean, it's great work, sir.
I appreciate that.
Less a fan of The Rendezvous.
Rendezvous is tough to watch.
I'm less a fan of that one.
That one was a little bit more unsettling.
You can. Where's the easiest place to see the video? The just type in Shia LaBeouf on YouTube or go to your website or what?
If you just go to robcantor.com, C-A-N-T-O-R, that you can sort of get to everywhere from there.
Fantastic. Rob, we really appreciate you taking some time to come on, and congratulations on this song. It's awesome, dude.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Just as long as the Seahawks lose, then we're all happy. We agree on that then, right?
Gary, well, the Seahawks will lose. That's all we do is lose. We don't know how to win. I don't even follow football anymore. Hey, Eagles-Cardinals, though, you guys. Seriously, who is going to win that?
I
think the line is four,
2.5, I think.
Arizona plus 40.
Oh, is it? I thought it was two and a half. Maybe it's 40.
Kevin, is there going to come a point that you become confident in your Cardinals? Because every Monday you come in and you're shocked that they won again.
Well, I mean, they have a good defense, but it's really odd that they can rotate cornerbacks and you know, guys that you've never seen, and they still win. It just doesn't make sense. I'm happy about it, but it doesn't make sense.
Look, Ralph, will they run into the buzzsaw that is the Eagles this weekend?
The Eagles... Have a very effective offense, but their defense has been questionable, yet it's been stepping up, and special teams has been winning games for them. I don't know what to expect week to week.
That's
with that
so
team.
Weird.
So it's very strange. So it's you're happy at 5-1.
Yeah, of course.
But I feel like Kevin does. You're oddly sort of trepidatious every weekend. You think, oh, this is the one where the wheels come
off. It's too good to be true.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cardinals plus 40. That's my prediction.
If you can find someone to give you that bet, Kevin, take it. Uh-huh. All right, 9:38. Rob is here for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Friday.
I think I'm gonna. What I'll do is I'll bring in a pie crust and some whipped cream, and then the loser gets a pie in the face.
All right,
how about that?
I love whipped cream. Can it be chocolate whipped cream?
Either way, I win. You know, I'll throw a pie at you, or I get to eat in my face.
Yeah. Can it be chocolate whipped cream? That is a thing.
Of course it can be chocolate whipped cream, Kevin.
I'm in.
Whatever is going to make it more delicious for you when I hit you in the face with a pie.
Well, that's going to be an awesome video.
But do you want chocolate whipped cream, or what flavor would you choose?
I'm not worried about what flavor it is, quite frankly, because I think I'm just going to enjoy whatever happens.
All right.
Ralph, you were out of the room, but... I think Kevin and Beer Mug were actually battling with each other as to who goes to Taco Bell more during the week. Well, I went 3 days in a row for lunch once. Well, I don't do that, but I sometimes go 4 or 5 times in a week. I mean, they just went on and on about who loves Taco Bell more. It was pretty awesome.
That was a short conversation, but I can see how it's annoying.
I'm stunned because, as far as I know, there's no children's menu at Taco Bell.
It's all a children's menu.
That's true. Everything they offer is really kid-friendly. Speaking of being kid-friendly... Mom in Florida said Toys R Us wasn't being kid-friendly when they're Breaking Bad toys on the shelves. So that she started a petition and had them removed. Well, Aaron Paul is not happy with that decision. He took to Twitter yesterday, slamming Toys R Us for pulling all the Breaking Bad figures from the shelves. So wait, they still sell Barbie? I wonder what is more damaging. Boom! Aaron Paul _8 tweeted. Boom!
Did you tweet boom, or did you add boom?
I added the boom. Okay. Then he created a fake quote from President Barack Obama regarding the situation. At Barack Obama, wait, are you serious about the whole Toys R Us thing? Yes, I am, Mr. President. Yes, I am, he tweeted. What about those violent video games you sell, Toys R Us? Do you still sell those?
Florida mom really messed it up for everyone. Boom!
How about that?
So there you go.
And then, of course, that that famous scene from Breaking Bad.
Do you know how much I make a year? I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it.
Miss Walter White. Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, sadly, it's on. It is on. Yep. Here's some good news. Kristen Stewart has announced she's taking a break from show business.
Excellent.
Taking a couple years off, she said, to think about other forms of art I want to create. How about being a mime? That's some art you'd like to explore?
She just wants to sit in a corner and sulk for 2 years.
I'm making a short film. Oh, I bet it's a comedy. I'm making a bunch of stuff. I don't know how I'll put it out, but I'm not going to hold it so previously close to me. I write all the time. Dear diary, I'm sad.
She is one of the rare people who every time she opens her mouth, it makes you hate her more. Every time.
She's not a...
Not even on accident does she say something likable.
She's not a moment of party.
She's not.
I'll tell you that much. You know, what does sound like a party is the set of Magic Mike XXL, the sequel to Magic Mike. Shouldn't have been Magic Mike XL first, and then the third film should have been XXL?
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
I think they're jumping an X here. It's just filled with studs. Joe Manganiello. I can never say his name. Channing Tatum. Stephen Boss. Adam Rodriguez. All on the set being all buff, trying to out-muscle each other, says Channing. Last week, he challenged everyone to a crunch competition on the set, and he won. But spent the day doubled over from stomach cramps because of it. You know how it is when you do too many crunches, right, Bean?
Right, beer mug?
Right, Kevin?
Sure. How dare you.
I think we've got them all covered.
Yeah, I think we did, too. I'm glad Mike's not here anymore to make us all look bad.
Yeah.
True.
Catherwood.
That's good.
His fat ass always being around here. And TLC has announced they are canceling The Adventures of Honey Boo Boo, whatever the hell that show was called.
I don't think that was it, but...
Say hello to Honey Boo Boo.
What was it called?
I can't remember right now.
Here comes
Honey Boo Boo.
That's right.
TLC has canceled the show in the wake of the relationship that has formed between Mama June, Honey Boo Boo's mother, and Mark Daniel, an ex of Mama June's, who just got out of prison in March after serving 10 years for child molestation.
Just crazy.
McDaniel was in prison for 10 years for forcing oral sex on an 8-year-old child who was, in fact, a relative of Mama June's.
That's the most troubling story in a long time.
And TLC has canceled the show because they felt she was putting her children at risk via her decisions. And it's a financial hit for the network. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they're just walking away. They shot an entire new season of episodes, but they have just chosen not to air them. They don't want to be any party to this, and they're walking away, so.
What's June going to do to pay for all those cheese balls and everything else she's got to buy for
What about
family?
The Sketti?
The Sketti?
How is she going to buy Sketti?
It's a good question.
Look, I don't think that...
Yes, Elvis?
I don't know, man. I'm going to have to go down there and see what's going on with that family,
Her
man.
My favorite foods are Sketti and butter.
No, my point was going to be,
why does that happen? Say it.
Because I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this properly.
Here at Graceland, man.
You guys like to jump on me.
Oh, yeah, we're jumping on you.
It's not that somebody who is a child molester should never date again, but nobody with children should ever date someone who is a former child molester.
Right.
That's, I guess, the point I was trying to say. Is that fair?
I think so, man.
That's an easy call.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's obvious.
It doesn't make any sense that June would put her children in risk to date this guy, whoever he is.
No. It doesn't make any sense that he gets out of prison after 10 years. Usually short eyes get shanked in the prison yard.
That's
the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been
Unless
getting
they
out.
Separate him from
I don't know where they, what kind of pansy-ass prison they put him in, but there should have been some sharpened spork action going on in the cafeteria. Sharpened spork, by the way. I saw them at the Troop last night.
Yeah.
Very good.
I thought that joke, but then I thought there's no way I could say it, so I'm not going to try.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Kevin Kline is 67 years old today. Actor B.D. Wong celebrates his 54th birthday. Casey Wilson, lovely and talented. Annie on Marry Me, she is 34 years old. Rapper Drake turns 28. Actress Shanae Grimes celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman.
I want to show this for you, man.
We should do this.
We should do that.
Oh, there you go.
Go Elvis, you're a big fan of this. You like the Dumb Booger, right?
I love her, man.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
What happened there, man?
Pass it over to me.
This is malicious fecal distribution.
Roll another one.
You're crazy. Send me pictures.
Just like the other one.
No funny.
This one seems to be about to quit.
We weren't aware of that news in any shape
I
or form.
Need another hit.
Anyway, a little bit later on this morning, a live performance from K-Rock and from Paramore. Yeah.
Paramore's the name of the band. They'll be doing the live performance.
Coming up on the
you need to lay
show.
Down.
Yeah. Roll.
What's happening to your nipples?
This one seems to be about sex.
I have herpes.
I don't have another cent.
I'm not really a touchy-feely type, but, well, hell, I'll just say it. You're a jackass.
But don't walk out that joint.
What am I going to do with you kids?
You'll pass it around.
I'm so disappointed in you.
But don't walk out that joint, my friend.
So, another Friday is upon us.
But we'll pass it on down.
I'll pass it on down.
This cannot end good.
Who the hell wants you on my show? Get off my show!
It's okay. It's okay. It's all gone now. Shh.
We ran out of tape. We ran out of tape. Woo!
Coming home, coming home. Tell the kids I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Oh, my. Ha, ha.